What is the journey like for a Jewish woman to discover the love of Jesus? Find out today as Jill Smith shares her journey with you. Hello and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson, and you can find out all about my books by visiting my website at ts-thompson.com.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, your Christian coach, helping you discover what God has next for your work, your ministry, and your life. Learn more about my coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we talk about holy love with Jill Smith to inspire your deeper Christian living. And just as a reminder, our upcoming Your Kingdom Purpose Women's Workshop will take place live and in person in Westminster, Maryland. Early bird registration closes at the end of June, so sign up now to reserve your spot at the discounted price. You can find all the information on our website at loveandencouragement.com.
I'm so excited. Today, we have a very special guest for you, so Jill Smith. Now, I have known Jill for a few years now, and so let me tell you about Jill. She is a wife, and she is a mother of two grown daughters. She's also a recent grandmother. Now, Jill grew up Jewish, and over the course of her life, she found Jesus. And so without further ado, welcome to our show, Jill.
Hi, ladies, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you for this opportunity to share and to show and tell.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So, yes. And let me just tell our listeners a little bit how I got, because God's unique in the way that he brings his kingdom together. Right. Mm-hmm. So I met Jill's cousin years ago through my photography business that I have. He was a client of mine, and we stayed in touch. He's a nice guy, him and his wife. And so we stayed in touch through the years, and we got dinner. And then, you know, one day I get a call saying, Hey, I know you've been writing some books. Can you help my cousin out? She's got this book, and just help her, just talk to her. And I said, sure, I'll talk to her. So Jill gives me a call, and immediately, I mean, I remember standing on the deck and that sun was coming out and I'm talking to Jill on the phone and there was this instant identification. Like, I could relate to her. And it's like, I knew that she had a book of light and it was something that I wanted to be involved with. So that's how I got to know Jill. So my friend Jill has just completed, I'm going to hold it up so you can see this beautiful, look at this beautiful book here. Right?
So beautiful.
Yes. And so it's Holy Love, a memoir of sorrow to glory. And I don't want to give away any spoilers, but I do want to let our listeners know that you can be encouraged with, you know, Jill's testimony through. So let's start back. We're going to dive into about this book today. That's what this whole podcast is about, is sharing this beautiful book that Jill has got to put in her heart to write. And she's sharing it with you guys. It's out in the world today. So let's start back to when you were younger. I know you describe in your book, Jill, the unrest being in a synagogue and feeling like, you know, something was missing inside because, you know, that's what you set out your journey to search to find it.
Yeah, I can actually, you know how you have memories in life and you can place yourself, you're there right now, there's certain ones that are, I can still see myself sitting there in that cushioned chair, there were blue cushioned chairs through the sanctuary, and watching people whisper to each other and talk and not pay attention, and it just, something was not right. And I was young, I'm looking back, you know, 5, 6, 7, you know, not, I was young, so I don't know what that was about. And I also, when they would talk about God and the Almighty God and stuff like that in Scripture, I would look up at that ceiling, and it was this big white dome and these recessed lights, and it's like, I believed, yeah, he was up there somewhere, like this God they were talking, God was up there watching over, you know. And, you know, so there was that. I mean, when my parents, when I was 9, they sent us to Sunday school, I guess because they felt they should. And after the first or second class, I remember coming home and asking my parents, why don't we light candles on Friday night? And they rush around to get some, you know, menorah candles to light them on Friday nights. You know, so we weren't, like, really observant Jews. Do you know what I mean? And so something just didn't jive for me. Something wasn't right. That's how it began.
Yeah. Well, Jill, I just want to tell the listeners, you know, I have just so loved reading your story. And so just so that they can kind of get a better feel of what you're talking about, what do you think was the first step you remember in acting on those feelings? Kind of like that, oh, you know, there's this amazingness, you know, you're looking up at the ceiling, kind of thinking about God. What was that first paving stone towards Christ, do you think?
It may have been when I would walk into the sanctuary. I think I write about that in the book. When I was in Sunday school, we'd go from the Hebrew class to the whatever class. It was horrible. It was so boring. But I would sneak into the sanctuary sometimes just to sit there. And I'd look off, and it's like, wow, something, you know. But the one thing, I don't even think I mentioned this in the book, and I thought about it later after I knew you were going to ask that question, Jo Heather, was in 2007 or 8. This is, you know, when I was still, I'm calling myself a closet Christian. I started listening to Christian music and stuff like that. And there was a silver jeweler at a women's expo. I was doing my table for my acupuncture to promote my acupuncture business. And I saw her in 2006. Like, I couldn't buy anything. I couldn't buy it. There was this gorgeous cross pendant. Beautiful. And in 2008, I found it. Yeah. I'm going to get it. It was like, I'm looking around to see if anybody could see me. And I bought it. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, and I bought it. I never wore it. I mean, I've worn it since now, but I just, it was like, I didn't tell you about that, Tammy. I bought this cross for, and it's about this big. It's a beautiful silver thing. Yeah. So that was probably the first really bold thing I did. Another really bold move was, again, before I came to Christ, it was probably 2008, I'm listening to the music, listening to the Christian radio station, and I loved this group called Avalon. And I don't think they're around anymore.
Yeah. Me too.
And they were one of my favorite groups. I listened to them over and over and over and over and over again. And they were coming to perform in my town. And I went. And that was bold. That was like, what am I doing here? You know, I'm Jewish. You know, I walked in there. Yeah, so that was probably the first really biggest bold move, you know, I made. So.
Yeah. Tammy, I know you've got something to ask Jill, but before you jump into that, I just have to say, Jill, you know, I was sharing with my husband last night about your testimony of the friend who had given you the Christian music CD and how you listened to it in secret at first, and you know, and it struck me because I too am extremely moved in my journey with Christ through music. And what it made me think for our listeners out there, you know, if somebody prompts you to share one of your music CDs, if you still have them in your car, I know some cars don't play CDs. If the Lord prompts you, pass that, because that could be a catalyst. It was a part of Jill's journey, this music, to be able to worship God in private, in her car. That might be a testimonial tool for you. So I just want to say that for the listeners. Listen up as that cue. The Holy Spirit may say, pass that CD on. Give it to that waitress in the restaurant. Give it to your friend, even though you know she doesn't believe in Jesus. It might speak to her heart. Listen to that leading. But Tammy, I know you want to talk a little bit more about Jill's story as well.
Yeah, and actually I was thinking about the music. Because, you know, when in church services, Jill goes to my church too. I just keep bringing people in like a magnet pool. Once they come, they can't like go, not go. And I keep coming back, right? But we always start with music. And most churches do start with music. And why is that? Because it prepares you to receive the word. And so when you were talking, I'm thinking that that was probably why some guy gave you music first. To prepare you to be ready to receive his word, and then to get your heart ready, because once you receive the word, right, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then you would be ready to receive the salvation.
Yeah.
So I just think that's beautiful.
Yeah, this is going to make, when
but,
I went
yeah, but
to
I had
that,
a few questions. Oh.
No, when I went to that concert, that Avalon concert, and they started singing, I couldn't not sit down. I just stood up, and everybody, and I just started crying, and I cried the whole time. Now, that was in 2008. I didn't come to Christ till 2009.
Yeah.
I cried the whole time. Yeah. And it was incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It moves you to tears to praise him. That's what you were doing. You were praising God. Even you weren't even saved.
Well, and it wasn't just that I was. It was it was participating in watching everybody else praise him. Just, you know, and when I finally had my own church that I went to, in 2009, and that was also a mega church, and I came very close to a couple of the women there. You know, we would always sit in the back and with hands raised and stuff like that, and I really would feel, and I tell them, someday, that's what we're here for. We're going to be in heaven, and we're going to be worshiping Amen. Him in heaven like this, in heaven, you know. And so I would love to stand Amen. In the back.
I've had that same vision, too.
Uh-huh. And I would stand in the back of this mega church because I loved watching the whole congregation with hands raised praising God. It was the most awesome thing. And that's what was compared to the sanctuary at my synagogue. I mean, they had a choir of probably mm-hmm. 4 or 5 mm-hmm. older people, and you couldn't never saw them. They were somewhere. They were hidden. And I guess they wanted to see. No, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. This was live. This was live music with an organ. But they were somewhere, but you didn't see them. I guess they wanted it to seem kind of like mysterious and angelic or something. But I'm like, so when I saw all these people standing and praising, I'm like, yes, this is what it is. So I feel like maybe that's why God is waiting for me, because that's what I'm supposed to be up in heaven, is an angel worshiping him up in heaven.
Right. Well, you can start now. You can start him praising every day. You know?
I do. I do.
It's part of my fellowship. So, yeah. So before we dive into the next question that I want to ask you, I just wanted to take a moment to let those who are listening let you know how you can follow us and support us. So first, depending upon what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss any future episodes. We also have an email list. You can go to our website, fill out a form, sign up on our email list. We'll email you the podcast every Wednesday. And if you also want to partner with us, you know, through prayer and financial support, or by being a sponsor on one of our shows, you know, that gives us financial support to go out and be able to do things in the world more. You can find all this on our website at loveandencouragement.com. So back to Jill and her book. I'm going to hold her book up again in case you're just tuning in right now. This is her beautiful, beautiful book that she just put out. It's a lot of work. So I want to jump ahead to when you finally received Christ. So in your book, you talk about two significant events, and I want you to share with them, with our listeners, because I thought they were pretty groundbreaking. So you had this moment where you were washing away in the shower, the surrender moment, and then you talk about making your way to your cross to your neighbors.
Yeah, the latter you described was actually came first, and that was in September 13th, 2009, at around 7:30 in the evening. And you know, all of us who have that pivotal moment, we remember that moment, right? And it was the darkest day of my life. And I still talk about it. It made me cry. It was so dark. And, you know, people read the book, they'll understand why it was as dark as it was. So I won't give that spoiler away. But, you know, I didn't know she would be available. My friend, my neighbor, Barbara, who I speak about, you know, she knew something was wrong. Her husband said something's wrong with Jill. He saw me on the porch. Anyway, I would practically crawled over to her house at night. It was like 7 o'clock. My marriage was on the rocks. My relationships with my daughter, everything was awful. And as I said, I think the enemy knew where I was headed. I didn't know. I just knew I wanted to cry on Barbara's shoulder and get her prayer warrior prayers over me and somehow soothe my pain. Somehow I had no clue why I was walking over there other than to get her support. And then I got there, and those kind of choking sobs where your whole body is shaking. And she said, Jill, you know, we've been talking about this for months. You don't have to keep carrying this yourself. You can put it at the foot of the cross. And it's like intellectually, I'm like, what is she talking about? You know, but I said, okay, you know, and she read the sinner's prayer, and they're like doing somersaults. They were so excited. And I almost like was in out of body. I'm watching them. So I guess technically that was when I came to Christ, when I said, okay. And she read me the sinner's prayer. It really didn't mean a whole lot to me yet. But I felt lighter. I was not any less grieving because of what had gone on, but I felt lighter. And I don't recall how many days went by. It may have been the next morning. It could have been a couple of weeks. It's interesting. I don't recall. But there was that morning I stepped into the shower shortly after that had happened. And Actually, what I was thinking about, and I didn't want to write this in the book because people might get the wrong impression. I wouldn't have the opportunity to sort of qualify it or explain myself. But at that time, prior to coming to Christ, I was so caught up in my worries, my worldly worries, and money, and am I seeing enough patients? And I'd be walking my dogs, and I'm not lying. I would be like counting, okay, this many patients, ka-ching, ka-ching, how much, you know, paying the mortgage. And it was just, it was, you know, I was starting my life over. I had all this debt, and that was, I was consumed with those worldly concerns. And I'm taking my shower, counting in my mind, how am I going to get my weekly acupuncture numbers from up to, like, I need like 22 to 23 patients in a week to get my numbers right. And I was only getting 8 to 10 patients a week. My patients had become numbers, right? And that's not right. And then God spoke into that. He spoke into that like a sledgehammer. And he just confronted me and convicted me of my pride. It was my pride that was that, worrying about that, the worldly concerns, my control over my worldly concerns, what I had to do to make myself safe in this world. And he spoke into that, and it was like he hit me with a sledgehammer. I took that in. I got that. So the first real big conviction from God was my pride. And what? That's probably the biggest one of all of us, right? And I just broke down. I suddenly saw it and realized
it is.
My whole life I was trying to do everything myself, and I was resisting him, my whole life. And all I could do was sob and cry and repent and beg his forgiveness. I'm just in the shower saying, I'm sorry. And that, I think that was when I really came to Christ, was that moment in the shower. And I felt that they were behind me. It was God, it was Jesus. Yeah. It was, and my pride was like this monolith. It was like I could see it. It was almost outside of me at that point. It was right there. And that was the moment. So I tried to capture that in that chapter. I talk about that.
Yes, you did. You did. You have some beautiful moments where the Lord was just, excuse me, bringing you along. And like you just said with the pride, I mean, gosh. Doesn't the pride choke us, guys? You guys who are listening, pride chokes. And it keeps us away from what the Lord has for us. And as Tammy and I were talking about some scriptures recently, you know, the Lord is our sun and our shield. He's our strength and our helper. And whether it's a helper about customers in your business, or a helper about your kids that are wayward, or a helper about a relationship, whatever it is, you know, he is your strength. He is your helper. Thinking about your testimony, Jill.
No, I just wanted to speak.
Yeah, go ahead.
What happened after I got out of the shower was the phone started ringing. And within 48 hours, my acupuncture schedule number for the following week hit 23 patients. I increased from 8 to 23 patients in 48 hours. People were coming back who hadn't seen me for a long time. Someone was referred by. And I knew that was his nod. Yes, see, I can take care of this for you. And I knew that that probably wouldn't stay that number, you know, and it didn't stay that number, but it didn't matter. I mean, it was his way of showing me he was in charge. He would take care of everything.
Well, Jill, I think that the listeners are going to just feel that the phone rang at exactly the moment you needed it to know it was God. So that's such a powerful testimony. You know, and as you think about that, you know, what words of encouragement do you have for those listeners who might be at a turning point in their life, especially for it might be someone of the Jewish faith who's on the path trying to find Jesus, or just not sure, just trying to find answers, and they stumbled on this interview today?
You know, for those Jewish people who may have stumbled, I guess I would say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to look in his direction. You know, when I was really pondering, I was in it at this point, listening to the music, pondering a relationship with Jesus, and it was the spring of 2009, and I was visualizing myself back in synagogue, knowing that God was up there in the ether somewhere, you know. And then I would visualize myself in a relationship with Jesus. And suddenly I felt connected to God. I remember driving in my car and I'm like, wow, why would anybody not want to be that intimate with the God of the universe? You know, it was a no-brainer, you know. And the other thing I realized last night when I was thinking about this interview was that, you know, when I felt disconnected from God, like I knew he was there, but I didn't feel connected to him. That's our sin, right? It keeps us separate from God. But when I felt connected to Jesus, I felt connected to God. It was like, that's all through the gospel. That's all through scripture, right? You can be intimate with God, the God of the universe, when you come through Jesus Christ, his son. You know, he's like, what's that keyhole? It's like a stargate, you know? Jesus is who brings us there, who brings us home. And yes, so it's, yes. It's like, it's okay. I mean, the Old Testament is a complete, when I started paying attention to the Old Testament, it was a complete foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus. And it's so clear in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and never talked about that stuff in synagogue. You know, they would never talk about that, you know? It's okay. Right. And people who, it isn't about being Jewish or whatever, they're just suffering. Because of what I went through in my childhood, I was in psychotherapy a lot in my life. I was really messed up. And people wouldn't know necessarily from the outside looking in, but I'd been described as having a wall around me. I had very few friends. I just always keeping people at a distance. I needed, in my own pride, to protect my own heart in my own way, right? And I had probably, by the time I was 50-something, I had probably 15 years of psychotherapy under my belt, receiving psychotherapy, psychoanalysis, all of it. You know, I met people who were Buddhist, and they tried to get me chanting, and I did the stones, and I did Reiki, and I did healing. I did so many modalities and yoga, all in to find my way to out of the suffering. I left no stones unturned. And it wasn't until I finally accepted Jesus, it almost felt like cheating in a way because of the Cliff Notes in college. I was like, it just started, I didn't have to think my way through this stuff anymore. God would just put it in front of me, but at his own pace. He measures the pace of my growth, I guess, based on how he feels I'm ready to hear it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like that I've always described it this way. It's like the Lord can't reveal everything that I need to do differently at one time. So it's a little bit at a time so that I can walk forward, because it is a relationship. He's not going to run the marathon when I can only walk around the block. So he's right there partnering with you. So with that, I'm going to pause for just a moment and share that our sponsor spotlight today is about Jill Smith, and it's about writing under the pen name Jill E. Smith. Today, we're promoting her amazing book, guys. I can't tell you this enough. I'm going to be passing around, you know, my copy here in my family. This book is just amazing, and you're going to be so inspired by it. I know I have. It's called Holy Love, A Memoir of Sorrow to Glory. It is just beautiful. It has got beautiful photography in it. It's her inspiring journey to find Jesus. And you can get a copy of this book on Amazon, or you can go to Jill's website. It's jesmith-author, for those who have trouble spelling, .net. That's jesmith-author.net. And we're going to put links in the show notes, whether you're listening to this today or whether you're watching the video. Now, if you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, or if you want to feature your favorite ministry effort, you can just contact us at loveandencouragement.com.
Yeah, I'm excited. So definitely go ahead and check out her book. It's going to bless you. I know it's blessed a lot of people. I've been hearing about everybody who's been picking it up and reading it, and they're very grateful that they did. So I want to shift back, Jill, and talk about your mom, because I know that it was such a big part, you know, of your life and a big part of that you put into this book. So you describe in your book feeling shame over her actions. And so can you share a little bit about the backstory of you growing up with her and how that impacted your life?
Well, first and foremost, I'll say I really loved my mom, right? She was just a sweet lady. And that's what made it so difficult. She was a beautiful woman, and she was an adulteress. And she enlisted my sister and I. My sister was 18 months older than me. She enlisted us as her confidants and her accomplices, basically, in her affairs. And she had multiple affairs throughout my childhood and knowing her through my adulthood, you know. And it messed me up. You know, it messed me up so much that by the time I met my first husband-to-be, and we'd been dating about 4 months, and I was in psychotherapy at that time, and I went into my therapist's office for my appointment all agitated. I was like 24, all agitated one day and upset, and what's the matter? I'm going to hurt them. I don't say their names here, but I'm going to hurt him and his son. Hey, what are you talking about? I'm going to have an affair. I was crying. I'm going to have an affair, and I'm going to hurt them. My therapist goes, Joe, what are you talking about? Have you met someone else at the hospital? Is there someone you're interested in? Is there someone you're... I said, no, but it's only a matter of time. You know, and people would think, you know, I had a bachelor's degree, I had my own car, I was working at Hopkins in the intensive... You know, the people would look at me from the outside looking in, and they'd think, this girl's got it going on, you know, she's got it all together. And I'm thinking, like, these are the thoughts in my head. I mean, how screwed up is that, right? That was my reality. That is all I knew. And when he said to me, Jill, just because your mother did it doesn't mean you have to do it. It was like he broke a spell. I'm like, oh my. I was just like this weight came off of me when he said this. So it had a huge impact on me, on my sense of myself, you know, as a woman, my sexuality, how I related to women, how I related to men. Couldn't, you know, and the shame. It was, I feel like in some ways I took on the shame that really epitomizes adultery. I sort of took it on for my family. And that's the thing I had. That was the pain. That was the pain, was the shame that I carried my whole life until I came to Christ. Mm-hmm. It was like I was the one that was having affairs. You know, my mother was. Mm. But she enlisted us. I would lie to my father on my mother's behalf. You know, all of it. She introduced us to all of her lovers. You know, she was proud of us. She wanted to show us off, you know, and that was normal to me. That's all I knew. And that's what I thought everybody did, you know?
Yeah.
But I loved my mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of like what our life is like, right? We think, oh, everybody is the same as me. And this is, you know, what they're going through. And, you know, I know your books so beautifully tells the story of the difficulties in your relationship with your mom. And you were just saying, you know, kind of the shame that you took on.
Yes, I did.
You kind of carried it. But, you know, from reading the book, you didn't just, once you became an adult and realized, yeah, I don't have to be like my mom. You didn't cut her off. Which can happen in families, right? We go, I can't deal with this, so I'm cutting you off. You didn't do that. But you ultimately, you know, you made an effort to introduce her to Jesus, to bring her to the Lord. And can you share a little bit with our listeners
moment,
about that?
Yeah, it's, you want me to tell that story? Okay. Yeah. It's just a spoiler for people to read what happened. But it was.
You can share whatever you feel comfortable with. I mean, guys, you've got to get the book.
The
it's really,
mercy,
really good.
The Mercy of God. And, what I will say was that witnessing that my mother coming to Christ taught me a lot of things. It taught me about the mercy of God, that he would forgive my mother. I mean, when my pastor said to her, so Punky, because that was her nickname, do you want to accept this gift? It's like here's a cup of tea. I want to offer it to you. You have to accept it. Do you want to accept this gift of you know, salvation through Jesus? Because he had explained all that leading up. And she just looks at him and she goes, sure. You know, and I'm like, she doesn't get it. I knew my mother. I knew my mother. I just knew she just thought that was a cool thing to say, or she was just being nice or whatever. I'm not going to share here actually what happened immediately after she said that, because that's the spoiler. I'll let them read the book. But what it taught me was that, wow, you know, as God says, Jesus says, it's your faith of a mustard seed is all, even that much, you can move mountains. I mean, my mother's shore, and I knew her, how shallow that was. It was the best she could give. And she'd wrecked so much destruction, not deliberately, but there's so much damage in her life. But God accepted her anyway. He forgave her anyway, you know, and that was a huge learning for me, that right there, you know. So, you know, it was a huge experience for her, even though she didn't realize that I don't think she ever fully appreciated what that did for her. But it was a huge learning for me, you know, about his mercy.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I mean, I remember she had that moment with that tear, you know, you talk about in your book. So, you know, you have to remember if she did receive Christ, you know, that God works in her just like God works in you, just like God works in Joe Heather, just like God works in me.
Absolutely. You know? I mean,
and I'm just, it's a beautiful testimony that, you know, everybody's worthy. Nobody's like beyond, you've screwed up too much. You can't come to me. That's what Jesus is saying. Anybody come, you know, ears to hear, listen, come. He opens the door. Here I am.
Yeah, it was like, if that's all you've got to give, I'll take it. You know what I mean? And that was all she had to give, and he took it. And
that's right.
You know, and when I went to visit her, talked about that tear that day to pay her a visit a couple years later. And that was the only time I witnessed any fruit of her coming to Christ, because I knew the Holy Spirit had convicted her. When she turned to me and she said, "Do you think God forgives naughty girls?" That's a quote. That's what she said to me. She was 83 years old at the time. And I knew then, wow, you know, God, the Holy Spirit had convicted her, because she heard that and she was struggling with that. And I talk about that moment in her bedroom with her, what ensued from that conversation.
Yeah, because Jesus paid all of it, everything. There was no exclusion. He didn't. Nobody posted anything on the cross saying all sins are forgiven except for this. Read the fine print. It wasn't there, right? He forgave everything. But sometimes, like you were talking about the shame and the guilt, it's hard for people to believe that when they're convicted from the Holy Spirit of the, you know, this part of repenting, that was still forgivable. Why would God give this to Jesus? Why would Jesus want to take this from me? It's because of His love. Right? His love. He takes all of it. Anybody who's willing to come, He will, like you said, just snatch it right up. He'll take it.
I mean, He can.
Because He already paid for it. It's just really you receiving the gift on your end, you know? He's like, I've already paid for that. Of course I'm going to take it. You know, of course.
When He convicted
me. Yeah, so I know we're getting ready to close and wrap up here.
Yeah. Oh. No, so when He convicted me in the shower that day, there was no shame. When God convicts you, there's no shame.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. Right? There's no shame. It's just change. There's just change. Sanctification. There's just sanctification.
It's the beauty. It gives you beauty. Yeah. Washes you clean, Jill. That's right. So, Jill, I just want to thank you for taking the time to come join us today. And I believe, I really do, I believe that, you know, the words of encouragement are going to go out into this world, and they're going to bless people and hopefully make a difference in their lives. I know there's a lot of people out in the world that are struggling today that need a word of encouragement. You know, and so I encourage you again one more time to get the book. You know, it's not that long. It's a weekend, depending on how long you read. You know, so I definitely recommend it. So what are your plans now, Jill, now that this is finally published?
Well, now you asked me when we finally published it, you asked me, so when are you doing your next book? And it was like someone who just has a baby, and they say, "What do you have any next baby?" Not, you know, I'm not doing that again. No. What I did say is that, you know, if God wants me to write another book, He'll let me know. And I know that I'm starting to get some itching inside around wanting to write again. I almost had writer's block for the last year, you know, year and a half after this was. But so I'm going to be putting up a blog on my website, the book website, and I'm already, there's things I want to write about. And as my friend and I were creating a Bible study to go with the book, we're working on a Bible study right now. And so in the process of doing that, I'm digging into concepts in the book like countenance, adultery, we're all adulterers because we're all idolizers, right? And that's our pride, right? So my mother did it in the flesh, but adultery is bigger than that, right? And so digging into that word, digging into the self-righteous word, digging into the fraudulence word. So I'm digging into these words, and that might end up being something else. It might end up being another book. We'll see. But he's wanting me to dig into these words, so I'm just following.
Yeah.
Being obedient.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all we can do is follow the Lord's leading, right? He's going to show us from day to day. Well, Jill, I do want to thank you for being a part of the show today. Are there any last words of encouragement you'd like to share with our listeners?
There's hope. There's hope. You know, and it's really only in Him. Like I said, I left no stones unturned. You know, 15 years mm-hmm. of psychotherapy, you know. It showed me what the issues were, but it was Jesus who fixed it, healed it, you know. I'm a living example of that. So when people say to me, "Oh, I'm glad you found what works for you," I'm glad you found. I'm like, no, you don't get it. I had to try. You know, it would work for you too. It isn't the only way.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be healed, if you want to be content, if you want to have peace inside of yourself, you know, Quentin said he'll help me do my testimony in the next few weeks somewhere at mm-hmm. church, Tammy. And he's like, wants me to talk about what's changed. So it isn't like I had a drug addiction or whatever. You know, it isn't like that to see. It's changed inside me. I have peace finally. The last decades of my life, well, I finally had peace and contentment, which I didn't for the first 5 decades of my life.
Amen. Yeah, that's what we want, right? Is the peace that surpasses understanding and that only comes from the Lord. And Jesus said, He is the way and the truth and the life. You know, no one comes to the Father but through Him. And so that's what we want for you, listeners. Jill, thank you for sharing your testimony today. We want to ask you, listeners, you know, it's your turn. With all that Jill has shared today, you know, what is it in her testimony that is inspiring you, that is speaking to your heart, that is that prick that you want to talk to God about, something that's pinging on the inside? Or is it inspiring you to tell others about Jesus? You know, she had her neighbor to speak to her. You know, who lives near you? Who is your neighbor as you're out and about doing things? Who do you need to tell about Jesus? Because He is the answer. We're all looking for answers, right? And He's the one. So I want to thank you, listeners, for taking time to join us today. And just as a reminder, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. And if you want to be a sponsor of one of those episodes, just contact us at loveandencouragement.com. Join us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.